It's not so much changing the rules as a painful realization that maybe we ought to have some rules.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Steve Chiotakis. Year after year, the government kept its hands off a lot of the backroom dealing that got us in the mess we're in. So it probably won't make those shadow bankers too happy to learn that it looks as though their free ticket is about to be punched. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner goes back before Congress today, this time calling for new regulations aimed squarely at the kind of risky business that's ended up costing all of us. Tamara Keith joins us now from our Washington Bureau. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how far do they plan to go with this? Who would be covered by these proposed regulations?
It's still not entirely clear, but likely candidates include large hedge funds, insurance companies, and money market mutual funds.
And the aim here is what? Do they want to stifle these kinds of investments, or do they want to just keep them under control?
I think it's more of a control situation, though I guess that depends on who you ask. There was a lot of risk-taking before. Credit default swaps, a ton of leveraging, maybe not enough capital on hand. Things weren't exactly regulated in a strong way. And the idea is to bring some of this risky behavior under a more watchful eye. There's talk of creating something called a systemic risk regulator to monitor the risks in the whole system.
And is this a surprise? What's the likely response to all this?
I don't think it's a surprise to anyone that after this huge financial meltdown that we've had, that there's now talk of more regulation. This is sort of the opening salvo in what is going to be a very long debate. Industry groups have already been putting together plans for sort of self-regulation proposals out there to try to stave off some of this. But it's going to be a long debate in Congress because Congress does have to approve this.
Tamara Keith in our Washington Bureau, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The rally sparked on Wall Street yesterday continues around the world this morning. Every major Asian market rebounded today, including a 1.8% bounce for the Nikkei. And the top European markets are in the green at this hour for what could end up as their sixth straight positive session. Maybe the sky isn't the limit when it comes to how far into debt we dare dig ourselves as a way of trying to dig out from under the financial mess. Seems Britain's prime minister is having some second thoughts about the wisdom of more stimulus spending. Gordon Brown is the host of next week's G20 summit, and he's been Washington's closest ally in urging other European leaders to cough up more stimulus money. But as Christopher Worth reports, he now appears to be backing away, or perhaps more accurately, to be scared away from that approach.
Gordon Brown might be heeding warnings from central bank officials in Europe and the UK who have voiced their concerns this week over rising government debt. The British are already hoping to sell a record-breaking $200 billion worth of government bonds this year. Yesterday, a British government bond auction failed for the first time in 7 years, raising the question of whether investors might be worried as well. David Page of Investec says a series of failures in coming months would be cause for concern.
A lot of governments are borrowing aggressively across the world, and all of them will be very hopeful that various different buyers are there to back that up.
He says yesterday's failure is probably a one-time event, but Germany has also had trouble attracting enough investors for their government bonds in recent months. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, helping more than 250,000 small businesses and nonprofits succeed using email marketing. ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, a smart way to reach your customers. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution by carrying the load of 280 trucks by rail. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Something doesn't add up here. Officials in Los Angeles County say homelessness has doubled since last year, and today the number of people in the county who have no place to call home is 74,000. That leaves a serious math problem when there are only 12,000 shelter beds to go around. The solution may be a device called the EDAR, which stands for Everyone Deserves a Roof. By day, it's a heavy-duty shopping cart. By night, it transforms into a tent that can sleep two people. Rob Schmitz takes a look.
The idea for EDAR came to Hollywood producer Peter Samuelson on a bike ride last year. He noticed there were more homeless people than usual, and one of them gave him a tour of her makeshift home.
There, behind the bushes, was a large cardboard box, and it had been raining, and it was wet, and it was smelly, and it was disgusting, and this was her home.
Samuelson sponsored a competition to invent an alternative, and the winner came up with the EDAR. Selmia McGee zips open the canvas flap of her EDAR unit and peeks outside. Last night she slept on the floor of the chapel at an overcrowded homeless shelter on LA's Skid Row. The 7-foot-long tent is suspended inches off the cold ground by wheels. Its floor is a thin, firm mattress. Its ceiling, a beige waterproof canvas, is 4 feet tall.
And it has like these little windows that you can open up, right? And then she can just feel the mattress is just, it's really nice.
After you sleep in it, the EDAR converts to a covered shopping cart where you can keep your belongings.
You just simply lift that up and it clicks.
McGee, her husband, two children, and two grandchildren have all been homeless since November, when her husband lost his job as a trucker. For her daughter, 11-year-old Kiyomi, the EDAR serves as a place to do homework, draw, and to escape from the routine at the shelter.
It's kind of like my own little room because I have my bed, and then I can put my stuff here, and then I have a window. It's like a room.
Outside the chapel, EDARs line the hallways. The shelter has just ordered close to 50 more of them at $500 each. It's searching for donations to cover the expenses. Samuelson is currently in talks with one city in Southern California to use vacant land for an EDAR encampment. He plans to give away 10,000 EDARs by the end of this year. In Los Angeles, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Now, to get a picture of what that shelter on wheels looks like, you might imagine something like a pup tent, or you can see it for yourself on our website. We've got photos and more info on the EDAR at marketplace.org. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. We really appreciate you joining us this morning.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.